Let us hear the word of God as recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 23, verses 33 through 39. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them deride him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was also written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. May God bless the reading of his holy word to our understanding.
You rise with me for prayer, please. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Crucifixion was not an unexpected, premature interruption in the life of Jesus Christ. He was not overtaken by the cross. He marched to it. Nothing is clearer in the record of his life than that Jesus entered history to die on the cross. He was born to be crucified. Mark records of him, The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom. In the last week of his earthly ministry, preparing his disciples for his death on the cross, Jesus said to them, For this purpose I have come to this hour. Crucifixion, like Incarnation is part of the divine strategy in history. As a matter of fact, crucifixion is implicit in incarnation. Paul puts it this way in the second chapter of his letter to the Philippians. Though he was in the form or nature of God, he thought not being equal with God a thing to be grasped, to be held on to cling to. But he humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, Jesus Christ did not have to forsake his exalted estate. He was under no necessity to bridge this awful chasm between a perfect God and a sinful man. But he did. In the councils of the Godhead, in the eternity of the past, somehow, beyond our comprehension, the Son of God deliberately and voluntarily decided to forsake his place at the right hand of the Father to make this terrible descent into history in the form of a man for the sake of man's salvation. Crucifixion is implicit in incarnation. Look at the steps of this descent. He did not cling to his divine position. That is, he let it go. He let go of it. There's a clue here for some of us. We cling to things we should let go of for Christ's sake. Then he made himself of no reputation, says Paul. He emptied himself, it's translated in another context. The New English Bible puts it, he made himself nothing. How we resist humiliation. Jesus Christ deliberately humiliated himself. I was so grateful for that song Mr. McNeil sang this morning. The contrast between the Pharisee who would justify himself before God. I, look what I have done, God. And the publican who would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven but smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was the one exalted, Jesus said, not the Pharisee. In his self-exaltation, the Pharisee debased himself. In his self-humbling, the sinner was exalted. This is the pattern Jesus laid down. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. The Son of God became a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself, Paul says again, and became obedient unto death. And then finally, the very bottom of degradation and ignominy, even the death of the cross. The cross was the first century equivalent of the electric chair or the gas chamber or the hangman's noose. The cross meant capital punishment for the worst kind of offenders. They disposed of their worst criminals by crucifixion in that day. And the perfect Son of God voluntarily died as a common criminal in order to save mankind. That's the strategy of crucifixion. Crucifixion is essential to salvation. The author of Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This is the pattern of the Bible. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, in their shame and humiliation, in their fear of God, covered themselves with fig leaves. But when God appeared in the garden in the cool of the day, they ran and hid. They were afraid of God. Their covering was not adequate. And the record says that God covered them with coats of skin. There had to be the shedding of blood. There had to be sacrifice for that covering, which would satisfy their shame and humiliation and fear of God. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, prefigured is the sacrifice of the Son of God on the cross of Calvary, that we might be clothed with his garment of salvation, that we might be covered with his robe of righteousness. Crucifixion is essential to salvation. Without the death of Christ, there is no salvation. Without the death of Christ, there's no hope for man in eternity. Three times, as he hung on the cross, Jesus was taunted by these words. The rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." He couldn't save himself and the criminals at the same time. It was one or the other. It was either or. Either he saved himself or he saved the criminals. If you are Christ, save yourself. He proved he was Christ by refusing to save himself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. He proved he was the Son of God by staying on the cross. He saved others. Himself, he could not save. That's always the option to the serious Christian. Self or others. You can't save both. Salvation is costly. The costliest gift ever given to man. Crucifixion is essential to salvation. You can't save yourself and another. And the tragedy is that a great many of us listening to this message this morning have a history of saving ourselves and sacrificing others. Saving self and sacrificing a wife or a husband. Saving self and sacrificing a son. Saving self and sacrificing a business. Saving self and sacrificing a friend. Our biography can be written in three words. He saved himself. He could not save others, obviously. Crucifixion is prerequisite to service. Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "You know that those who are supposed to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them." What a picture of our 20th century culture. "And their great men exercise authority over them." With all of our sophistication, how naive we really are. The minute we get a hold of a little authority, we want to rule over people. All power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. "But it shall not be so among you," Jesus said, addressing his disciples. "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave to all. For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Service is the acid test of greatness in the kingdom of God. How many of us go through life demanding service instead of giving it? How unlike Jesus we are. All of our profession and piety to the contrary notwithstanding. What would happen in any given situation if those of us who were disciples of Jesus Christ would compete to serve more than the other. What would happen if we would make ourselves the slaves of everybody? Jesus said, this is the first in the kingdom of God. What a difference it would make in a home, in an office, in a neighborhood, in a community, in the nation, in the world, if we would take Jesus Christ and His way of life seriously. He that would be great, let him serve. He that would be first, let him be the slave to everybody. He was among us as one who served, the suffering servant. And the church is like her Lord to the extent that she is a suffering servant. And a Christian is like his Lord to the extent that he is a suffering servant. Jesus said, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. The awful, excruciating aloneness of people who will not die, who will not be crucified. The awful spiritual vacuum where you are because you will not die, because you are so filled with self-demands that there is no Christ-like influence there. Just a vacuum where there ought to be an influence for Jesus Christ. Crucifixion, in fact, is the way of life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. To live, I must be crucified. If I will not be crucified, I do not live. To be a Christian is to be one with Christ in His death and resurrection. To refuse to be one with Christ in His death is to deprive ourselves of being one with Him in resurrection. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Denying oneself and taking up the cross daily are equivalents. They are synonymous. The cross means self-denial. It means saying no to self itself. It means death to the ego. Of course, this is absolutely contrary to modern psychology. Express yourself. Self-realization. Well, you can believe that if you want, but Jesus Christ didn't teach that. And we're seeing enough of the damnable results of self-expression and self-realization. The psychology of Jesus, the psychology of the kingdom of God is you lose yourself if you try to save yourself. You save yourself if you lose yourself for Christ's sake. Christianity, really, to be understood, is self-annihilation. Save yourself, lose yourself. Lose yourself for Christ's sake. Save yourself. Crucifixion is the way of life. The only way of life. the only way of the only life. Christlikeness is the Christian norm. No one debates that. It is explicit in the Word of God. It is implicit in the Word of God. The standard for Christian ethics is Christ. We are becoming daily as we use the means that God has given in His Word, in worship, in service, in fellowship, in prayer. We are becoming more and more like Christ, growing into the likeness of His image, becoming more and more like the Son of God. Christ is the norm for the Christian life. But how do we become like Christ? By striving? No, you can't imitate God. You can't imitate Jesus Christ in the first place because you can't predict what He would do. This is one of our problems. We keep saying, well, I should do what Jesus would do in that situation. And 9 times out of 10, He'd do exactly the opposite you think He would do. We misunderstand Him today as much as the Pharisees misunderstood Him. He broke all of their rules for the sake of which they crucified Him. He wasn't like they expected a religious man to be at all. He didn't fit any of the norms of piety of their day. He was an enigma to them. And it is presumptuous for us to assume in the 20th century that we know so much more about Jesus Christ and His psychology and the way He operates that we can predict how He's going to act in a given situation. We better quit trying. Because He would be completely different in a given situation than we assume Him to be, just like He was 20 centuries ago. No, we can't imitate Jesus Christ because we don't know what He would be like in a situation. But we can be Christ-like by the power of the Spirit of God indwelling us. We can react and respond to situations as Christ did, because when we are crucified with Christ, He in fact dwells in us and reacts through us in His normal, natural, Christ-like way. But that requires crucifixion. You cannot imitate Jesus Christ, nor can I, but we can humble ourselves. We can empty ourselves. We can let go of the ego and its selfish aspirations and ambitions. We can give up our right to ourselves. We can quit standing on our rights. How many homes are destroyed because a husband or wife stands on his rights? When are we going to learn, when we take the marriage vows, we give up our rights to ourselves? We have no rights in marriage. That's what's wrong with many marriages. I have my rights. No, you don't. If you meant what you said when you took the marriage vows, you have no rights. You gave up your rights to yourself, to your married partner. We can let go of ego and its selfish ambitions. We can say no to self for the sake of others. We can take the place of a servant. We can be other slaves. Yes, we can. We can die to all that is not of Christ. We can. There is an option with discipleship. There is an option to crucifixion. Jesus said, if any man will be my disciple. You don't have to take up your cross. You don't have to follow Christ. You can even get to heaven and not follow Christ. You can be saved by the precious blood of the Lamb of God without ever doing a thing for Christ's sake on earth. You can get into heaven by the skin of your teeth, which is a biblical expression. You can be saved so as by fire, which is a biblical expression. You can receive the fabulous gift of salvation and live the rest of your life completely selfishly. Or you can decide to take up your cross and deny yourself and follow Christ as his disciple. And that's what the world needs today. Some of you, most of us, most of the time live for self. Oh, we become very subtle in it. We're like the boy, like the child, who if he can't get attention being good, he will get attention being bad. If we can't express our ego with conceit, we express our ego with humility. We wear our humility. We broadcast how humble we are. That's ego. Someone has said you'd forget what people think of you if you realized how little they do. This is the option this morning, loud and clear. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's your option and mine. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, the world all about us cries out for followers of Christ. Not professors of Christ, but followers of Christ. Grant that this morning in this congregation and that among those who are in the radio audience, there shall be many who will say, Lord Jesus Christ, I hereby follow the strategy of crucifixion. I do want to deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow thee. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and wills to obey the strategy of crucifixion. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.